How are they carried away? Do you know what, in
All
like
in pipes.
handcarts?
No, all by pipes.
Oh, all pipes,
all
yes.
Pipes, yeah. There was no acid culture in that way. No, the whole all the transport of acid was from pipes from
for
tanks
a pipe
and
system.
so on, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm pretty sure that there was no vehicle wandering around loaded up with acid. No, nothing like that. That was then piped away to the concentration.
Yes,
farms.
Denitrating towers and things like that.
Denitrating
yes.
towers and all this stuff.
Oh, yes.
And they recovered the... it's not quite true either.
No, because...
What happened was that the nitrating acid came away and was and sent off to another tank where it was tested, where one of the jobs was to analyse this, find what you got.
Oh, yes,
the used
acid, yeah.
Yeah, and then they used that data to calculate how much fresh acid to mix with it.
Oh, I see, yes.
To bring it up to the necessary strength.
Yes, so you have to put in NOV and the Nordhausen vitriol.
Yeah, that's it. The vitriol and the stronger nitric acid. And they could bring that up then to the required strength for nitration.
Yes.
Actually, I think what happened to it went straight back to the nitration acid tanks, and then they used to build it up with the extra fresh acid to bring it up to the required strength to be used again.
I see. Oh, yes.
And that's what happened to the most of the waste acid, and a certain amount of waste acid, of course, was too dilute to use that way.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what they did with that.
But they did have sulfuric concentrators, didn't they? With do you remember those terrible Coke box ideas of somebody?
Oh, yeah, but wait a minute. I've got an idea that they were for the... that's not right. They had a setup for concentrating nitric acid for the RDX plant.
Oh, yes.
There was a requirement for the RDX acid, which was 99% or something, nitric acid.
Yeah.
And that had to be recovered and recycled and concentrated up.
Yeah. Yes,
but there was, you're quite right, there was a thing for doing the sulfuric acid the same way, but I'm afraid...
We used to have to go and test the exhaust fumes or something because it was some requirement. The locals used to complain about a terrible stink and acid flying across.
And then we
had a policy of testing the stuff. Not that they did anything about it.
They monitored it to make sure it didn't go any worse than usual.
Yeah, that's it. No worse than usual. Yes. And in the process, you got your if you didn't wear a cap and that, your shoulders of your lab coat got eaten away. Then there was a boiling house, wasn't there, after the nitrate, because they would boil the gum cotton, wouldn't they? Would that be in the?
The nitrated cotton then was washed.
Yeah.
To take out most of the acid. Just wash it with cold water, I think, to get rid of some of that. There was an awful lot of acid sent into the River Lea or thereabouts.
In that Black Ditch place.
When you got down to 2 or 3% acid solution for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just dump that.
Dump.
I don't know whatever. There still seemed to be some fish around, so perhaps they had a fairly harmless way of
Yes, it was fairly dilute, yes. Yeah.
And I don't think it went straight in the river, but my recollections of this are a bit vague. Somebody you might know more about it is Jimmy Smith.
I want to try and get onto him.
He was more concerned with that than I was. Knowledgeable too. But, then they boiled it. This is where the nub comes in, because the cotton from Waltham Abbey was always very, very stable, because they had seven boils. They'd put this stuff in the tank, fill it up with water, boil it, or blow steam in it, really. Mm. Live steam into it, that's what they had. And so there was a hell of a demand for live steam from the boiler house.
Oh, yes.
No, it wasn't
That's
used.
How they boiled it, I see.
It wasn't just used for heating the building.
Yes.
Then you got every morning, every day when you worked in the gun cotton lab, you had a huge number of samples of boiling water.
Oh, the the boiling vat, samples of water
that's
from the
right,
vats.
Yes. I don't think they bother too much with the early boilings, but you have the from four boilings onwards at least, and maybe more.
Oh, well, and you have to acid acidity.
You measure the acidity of the boilers.
Yeah, oh yes.
There was also, of course, the addition of soda ash at some stage.
Yes. Oh, well, to kill some more of the acid,
or to
make the whole thing slightly alkaline in the end, wasn't it?
Alkaline, yes.
Oh, yes.
Not too alkaline, otherwise you start destroying the gun cotton.
Gun cotton, oh, yeah.
And so then the thing went through this process took quite a long while, because the boilings took hours and so on, so it was hanging around in the system for quite a while.
Yeah.
Came out the other end, and then it went to what they call the poaching house or something like that. The purpose of which...
P-O-T-C-H, isn't it?
P-O-T-C-H. This was a machine. These were machines with paddles which just sort of circulated the slurry of gun cotton in water round and round and round, beating it to bits pieces as it went on.
Oh, yes.
So instead of getting the nitrated cotton, which looks more or less like unnitrated cotton
in the
beginning...
Bunches of fibres and...
just like, it didn't look any different.
But
otherwise it didn't look very different. You broke it all down till you got suspension in the water.
Do you remember, I think we had a miniature one of those in the lab for doing magnetic iron.
That's it, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I think I was reading a book about paper making, and apparently those things are... part of the papermaking industry.
That's right. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, I think a lot of the technique of...
was taken from other industries.
The Cordite Incorporators were straight out of a bakery.
Oh, yes, yeah.
With certain...
certain material changes, perhaps, for sparking and that.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm. They're very worried if you've got a grinding action between
them. Oh, yes.
But, this poaching business went on, and at the end of the day, the thing had to be, stuff had to be sort of dried off, or filtered off.
Yeah.
And they didn't dry it. They reduced the moisture content down to about 30%, at which point it's sort of a bit soggy.
Yes.
And then that went off to the north side.
Oh, yeah.
In the trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And
henceforth the stoves and things, I suppose.
And then they used to stove it up there.
Oh, yeah.
And drive off the remaining water. And then, of course, the material then is extremely dangerous.
Yes.
And before, you know, without doing any more ado with it, it used to go away and be mixed with nitroglycerin, which, believe it or not, made it safer.
Yeah, so what, the two combined together are safer, Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that's very interesting, Norm. Well, look, I think we've just about got 2 or 3 minutes left of the tape, I think we'll have to wind it up now. But anyway, your contribution has been really great, because it is that this period that you're talking about that I really want to get down. I mean, there's so many sources of, let's say, the last 30 years or so, there's not so many of us about who can take it back to the 30s and 40s.
Well, you did deal with the gunpowder factory, didn't I?
The gunpowder, yes. Yeah,
the one thing I didn't mention, that was the men themselves.
Yes.
They all walked around looking black.
Oh, yes.
So all the gunpowder people were always smoking.
Top from the charcoal.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they wore funny hats.
Oh, different to the others.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, the Australian soldiers' hats?
Yes.
Well, actually, they were road sweepers' hats. If you went down to the City of London in 1939, there was loads of horse manure and stuff.
Hmm.
Being swept up by chaps who wore these sort of hats.
Oh, yes.
Like
a floppy brim or something?
No, they were leather. They were stiff.
Oh, leather, yes.
Stiff leather hats.
Yes.
And pulled up at one side. I'm not quite sure why they were pulled up at one side, but I think they found these manure sweepers in
that
the city
was
of London.
Traditional,
wall.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
The other thing is, have you got the floods covered?
Got the what?
Floods, flooding.
Flooding, Let's see. No, I'm not
that Northside plant flooded regularly. You know that.
Yes.
There
were
depths of 2 or 3 inches. But in 1946, something went wrong, and it flooded to a depth of 2 feet or more.
Yes.
All the way over. So that the water got up to the level of the floor in the main lab. You know?
Did it? As high as that?
Yes. Yes, yes. And we were working in there at the time. And keeping an eye on how far the water had gone up.
Yeah.
We'd all got Wellingtons, and we worked in there until the water was within a half an inch of the top of the wellies.
Oh, yes.
At which point they evacuated.
Yes.
And this was the time when they were cutting all the trees down.
Yeah.
And the place was covered in logs, big logs.
Was there any reason for cutting the trees down? Just for gunpowder making or something?
No. This was the time when they were clear. These were the trees which covered the whole site.
Oh, yes.
And they were preparing the site for the research people, and they didn't want all these trees.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm.
So they'd cut all the trees down.
Oh,
they
may
have taken some away, but most of them were just lying on the ground.
Yeah.
And they floated around. So my recollection is that first of all, I had a bicycle, rather waterlogged, pushing, couldn't too deep to ride the bike, and pushing the bike up and kicking the tree stumps, which were floating, which responded slowly.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
Yes. An extraordinary day, that.
Yes.
When we got down to the gate, it was only about 6 inches of water, but riding down to Waltham Cross Station, the water was sort of coming all over the road, the whole way along from the marshes, and going through the houses on the other side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, not funny, really. Mm. Very strange.
I think we're just about to take just a bit. It's
oh yeah.